Support for the All Sides with Ann Fisher podcast comes from Wolf's Ridge Brewing, a family-owned Columbus brewery and restaurant, offering home beer delivery and curbside food pickup Tuesday through Sunday. More at wolfsridgebrewing.com.
Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. While much of the restaurant industry was battered by shutdowns and other COVID-19 restrictions, pizza parlors, especially independent pizza parlors, proved well-suited to thrive. PMC Pizza Magazine 2021 Pizza Power Report showed that national pizza chain sales from October 2019 to September 2020 fell less than a percentage point from the same period a year earlier, and independent pizzeria sales grew by 0.5%. No less was true in Columbus, where Hometown Pizza has been a mainstay stretching back nearly a century. We're talking today about Columbus and its pizza culture. Food writer Jim Ellison is founder of the CMH Gourmand blog, founded in 2006. His new book is titled Columbus Pizza, A Slice of History. Jim Ellison, welcome to the show.
And thanks for having me. It's a real pleasure.
You know, Columbus was at one time considered the pizza capital of the U.S. by Pizza Today magazine. What vaulted it to that lofty height, and where does it stand now?
Well, at one time, Columbus had more pizzerias per capita than any other city in the United States. That's even New York, right? We think of New York as a pizza place, or Philly, or Chicago. But yeah, we had more per capita than any other place in the country. Other things that led up to that is we had Richie DiPaolo here in town, who was always preaching across the country to what a great pizza culture we had here in Columbus. So he was a true advocate as well.
It is a story of immigrants, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. I would equate the pizzerias of the 1950s to the taco trucks of today, or 10 years ago. It was an opportunity for an immigrant community that was not quite accepted, even in the early 1950s, to have an opportunity to have their own businesses and have kind of minimum startup costs to go. For a pizzeria, you need an oven, you need your family as your workforce, and you can basically work it when you get off from your other job.
The pizza of 80 or 90 years ago, how did it compare and contrast with what we think of today, which has so many iterations?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So the pizza that an Italian immigrant would eat in Columbus in the 1920s and 1930s, very different than today. A lot of the Italian immigrants in Columbus came from one small section of Italy, so they're kind of bringing those traditions with them. And then also think of the time frame as well. It's the Depression. It's, you know, there's tough times. It's immigrant families that are trying to basically rub 2 cents together all the time. So that pizza of then evolved very differently. So Jimmy Carova of TAT, who many people are familiar with, you know, his memory of pizza was basically a snack, not a meal, something that, you know, his mom would give him leftover dough. He'd put it together into like a rough pizza shell. He'd throw basically not tomato sauce, but he'd like kind of crush a tomato to get that tomato juice onto the dough. And then maybe if he was lucky, there was some basil he could throw on. Cheese was a luxury for many, many families at that time. And that's what they put together, but evolved and changed over time and really solidified into the pizza that we know as Columbus style pizza by the mid 50s.
Was pizza as a culinary item, was that something that came from Italy, or did it develop more in the US?
Definitely came from Italy. Okay. And you know, some of our top pizzerias in Columbus had family roots going back to Naples, which is the epicenter of pizza, not just in Italy, it's in the world. That is the template for pizza as we know in the United States. But Ohio, the United States, is basically a mixing pot of different culinary traditions, right? So became very Americanized. In Columbus, I really feel that our pizza is a fusion of kind of New York pizza traditions there, Chicago, and literally folks kind of making do with what they could source locally, right? You always have to adapt to what you can get. So you're not going to get buffalo mozzarella in Columbus or New York or places like that. So you have to find another cheese that you can use to make pizza.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. And thanks for joining us today to take a break and talk about pizza. It's obviously a big item on everybody's lists, and it has survived largely intact the COVID-19 shutdowns and slowdowns and everything else COVID-19 has thrown at us. My guest today is Jim Ellison. He's a Columbus food blogger and author of a new book. It's titled Columbus Pizza, A Slice of History. And the book is less a ranking and more a history. It's exactly what I wanted to read about the culture of pizza in Columbus. We would like to hear from our listeners today, and I know you're probably chomping at the bit to tell us what your favorite pizza place is. Everybody has their favorites. I actually have like three or four favorites because it sort of depends on what I'm in the mood for and now what's open or what's nearby. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org and share your favorite pizza, or if you have a question for Jim Ellison, we're interested in those as well today. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. As you mentioned, Jim, it's not just the pizzeria. It's also the suppliers in Columbus that made a big difference. You mentioned the former DiPaolo Foods, which now goes by RDP, and also the Ezo. Sausage Company.
Yeah, huge supplier of pepperoni, not just for Ohio, but literally the world.
Well, they kind of made pep a thing.
Very much a thing. And it's a great collaboration. So rough history is, you know, the Ezo Sausage Company goes back to the late 1800s out of town. The Ezo family, one of them was going to Ohio State. He was a football player here. The family factory basically burned down at another state, and they said, hey, we got to get going. So they decided Columbus was the place to kind of reestablish a branch of the company. And about that time, another pizza pepperoni supplier in the country changed locations. When they did that, a lot of the locals felt that the quality went down, and several pizza shop owners approached Ezo and said, hey, you know, we are looking for a different type of pepperoni sliced a little bit differently, a little bit thinner. We're looking for that cup and char that some people really want and seek out. So this collaboration of them listening to their customers, making a few tweaks, and having a very different approach to their pepperoni than most other suppliers created this incredible product that even New Yorkers will rave about and give Columbus credit for. If you are a pizzeria in New York and you're serving Ezo brand pepperoni, you are at a very high level with your customers. So it's highly respected.
What do you think it is about independent pizza places that, first of all, lets them compete with the national chains, and second of all, enabled them to survive what has trashed so many other food businesses?
Well, you know, our local pizzerias, and I have this in the book, they are not necessarily, they're kind of close to being a dying breed, and COVID has accentuated some of those things, made them better, made them worse in some areas. I think pizzerias are kind of that last bastion of local loyalty to food, right? If you're in Grandview, you are a Rotolo's person. If you're in Arlington, you're a Tommy's person. If you're in Bexley, heaven forbid, you would say something negative against Rubino's, right? So we have that as part of our culture here. But Columbus is very much a city in transition. We are gone from we're now a city of transplants, right? So you don't necessarily have that neighborhood loyalty when you're coming into town. There are New Yorkers and people from the East Coast that are coming to Columbus and getting enraged when they encounter our thin, square-cut cracker pizza, they call it. So they don't have that same loyalty to our local places that we do. So that's something to consider. Other factors that come in is the current generation of kids, you know, are looking at the pizza business, seeing how much work it is. And even though pizza has survived better than most restaurants during COVID, it's been a hard fight, a really hard fight since March for all of these companies. Kids are watching their parents struggle, worry about how they're going to pay bills, pay staff.
It's like a luxury.
Do I want
yeah.
to go through that? So, yeah. There's a lot of factors in there. You know, big things that Columbus have that other cities don't have is RDP, so a company that's really supportive of their customers. And again, another example is we have several pizza Facebook groups that are specifically dedicated to talking about pizza in Columbus. One of them is the Pizza Connoisseurs of Columbus. They have over 30,000 followers, and that's larger than any type of kind of like pizza fan group anywhere in the country. COVID has expanded that. We're all trapped in our houses. We're all looking to eat something different than the same thing we eat every day. So there's so many things going on right now. It's an interesting time. We'll put it that way.
That's for sure. But pizzeria is offered carry out and delivery since long before the pandemic. In fact, they sort of were the first original carry out. And Rubino's still does it the same old way. Tell us about that.
Oh, so carry out was best pretty novel for its time, right? This is 1950s when pizza's starting to take off in Columbus. And other than maybe Chinese, you really couldn't get something to go. So think of this, that Columbus is starting to become more affluent. You've got some extra money. You can actually afford to eat out maybe once a week. And that was dad basically coming home from the factory, grabbing a pizza, bringing it home. What a novel idea, right? Mom gets a break. She doesn't have to cook. But Rubino's, of all the places in town, that is a place where literally you are walking back to 1954 when they opened. Nothing has changed. They still serve pizza in tents.
Bring your cash.
Which will be the special cut. it's they kind of press their dough in a certain way to get a certain level of thinness. The only thing that I think has changed at Rubino's over the years is they have styrofoam cups now instead of whatever they would have had in the 1950s. But you're walking back in time.
Right. What are people in the pizza business saying to you about what the next several months are going to look like?
It's weird. It's feast or famine. There's some places are doing twice their normal business right now, and that's great. There's other places that are literally wondering if they're going to be able to stay open for the rest of this month. A good example is Bruno's, a longtime pizzeria on 161 in the Sherwin's neighborhood. They closed yesterday, so they are out of the game after 50 years. There's all types of challenges. There are still supply issues. A lot of folks at RDP, Smithfield, places like that are still working 6 or 7 days a week trying to source the ingredients that pizzerias want and try to get a price that can keep them in the game, right? A local independent pizzeria cannot compete against the buying power of a Papa John's, of a Pizza Hut, or what have you. So, you know, there are shortages that are constantly working through on a weekly basis. It's feast or famine. There's still a long way to go. And another thing to factor in is a lot of us are having pizza delivered not by the shop, but by a third-party delivery service. A lot of those services, in addition to charging the customer, charge the pizzeria as well. So in many cases, maybe they're doing a high volume of sales, but their profit is either break even or barely over because they have to pay that fee to that delivery service. The only reason they do it is because the customer expects that, and they would rather serve you a pizza breaking even than to have you go to somebody else or say like, all right, Papa John's is more convenient, I'm going to go with them instead.
So if you want to support your local pizzeria, you should order direct from them.
Pick it up.
Okay. Yeah. I'm a picker-upper. I don't know about you, but we'd like to hear from our listeners. What's your favorite pizza? Maybe there's circumstances that dictate what your favorite pizza is. I know there are for me. So give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're talking about pizza today with Jim Ellison. He's a Columbus food blogger and author of a new book. It's titled Columbus Pizza, A Slice of History. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Support for the All Sides with Ann Fisher podcast comes from Wolf's Ridge Brewing, a family-owned Columbus brewery and restaurant, offering home beer delivery and curbside food pickup Tuesday through Sunday. More at wolfsridgebrewing.com.
Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. In a year that has celebrated takeout food operations, pizza probably is the king and queen of COVID-19 dietary staples, but Columbus foodies always have supported their pizzerias. Still with us, longtime food blogger Jim Ellison. His new book is titled Columbus Pizza, A Slice of History. We want to hear from you, listeners. What's your favorite pizza in Columbus? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. How do you define, Jim Ellison, Columbus-style pizza?
Columbus-style pizza, thinner crust, so not super thick, not a giant crust ring like you would see in New York-style pizza, square cut, and this is something that enrages people on the East Coast and other than a small swath of the Midwest. So that's cut in squares, sometimes rectangles. That's also known as party cut or tavern cut, and that feeds into the history that we might dwell into later. We tend to lean towards provolone or provolone mozzarella mix instead of solely mozzarella. We do like our oregano in our sauces and a slightly sweeter sauce over a more bitter sauce. Some places still do the cornmeal dusting on the bottom. Think of Massey's, TAT in particular. You know, that has a history that goes back to the 1930s. There's reasons for that. It's more of kind of a showcase thing to do now. It's not as required as it used to be.
So talk about the tavern cut, because I remember that's one of the most distinctive things to me when I moved here 30 years ago was, what is this about?
Yeah, it's and what's a pretty mild word? You usually hear some other words when people.
I didn't like it at first.
I can't say because of the FCC.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is rage that's involved with that. So the origins of the party cut or the tavern cut, probably Chicago, probably the early 1930s. And there, pizza was a snack to eat at the bar. When you leave work, you're on your way home, you're grabbing a couple beers, you need something in your belly so you can drink that extra beer and make a profit. So that's why pizza was cut tavern cut style, so that everybody could get a little piece instead of the big burly guy in the room taking the gigantic slices. There's other practicalities to that too. Old time pizza folks that remember sliding a pizza into a paper bag felt that it was easier to do that if it's cut in squares instead of triangles. Mm. And then another reason I feel that it's a practicality in Columbus is another kind of dominant trait of Columbus style pizza is to pile on the toppings, right? In a lot of other styles, Naples, New York, the toppings are kind of an afterthought, right? You have a couple pepperonis or whatever. We do it edge to edge, we do it super thick, and a typical New York slice is not gonna be able to support that layer of thickness of toppings. It's gonna flop even more than it already does.
So right.
There's a lot involved in the pros and cons of the tavern cut, but I'm all good with it.
Yeah, I always like the very little corner piece.
Yeah.
So anyways, we have listeners calling in with their idea of the best pizza. We'll start first with, let's see. It looks like Captive or Peter from somewhere in the listening area. He says, the best has one, a rolled thin crust, crunchy with sesame seeds and pepitos. A thick crust is just bread. Number two, use best quality mozzarella. White where you break a bar of it means low water content. And three, a wood-fired oven is best, as in Italy, Pizzeria Gino Sorbillo, Naples. I worked weekends with Mr. Massey on East Main Street from 58 to 60 while a student at Capital U. Mrs. Massey would come in and order just order plain cheese. After a good crust, the secret is really in the cheese. Okay. Let's take some calls now. Yamami in Columbus, you're on the air.
And so my son is a college student who is taking a year off from Reed College and rather than going to school this year.
Uh-huh.
So he has been working at Dewey's Pizza throughout the pandemic, and he works three times a week. And just a shout out to them. They have I haven't eaten much of his pizza that he brings home, but they really take good care of the staff. And he says, they put so much effort into training the staff from the beginning so that they have very little turnover in terms of people they train. And they do take exceptionally good care of the people, which then obviously translates into the quality of the product that goes out.
Right.
And keeping clientele happy and, being successful as a small business that's doing really well during the pandemic,
Yeah, Yamami, I think you bring up a really great point, and it's something, a point that you make in your book, Jim Ellison, is how the longevity And the history, I mean, some of these places have been owned by the same people for decades. And there's something about Columbus that people stay with the pizza parlor they're working at.
Yeah, it's a weird phenomenon. So most of us know food service workers. If you have an employee that's at your restaurant for a year, you've done something right. There's just a lot of turnover in the industry. And this isn't for all pizza places in Columbus, but definitely our older school places, Tarita's, TAT, Tommy's, they have staff that have been there 25, 30, 40 years. That is just an oddity in the business. But that's also something that makes these places special. How many places do you go to when you walk in, you see the same face that mm-hmm. you have seen maybe your whole life? And especially like in Upper Arlington for Tommy's, you know, they have three generations of families that have gone in, server knows them by name, can predict what their order is going to be. That's special. That's unique. That's not something you're going to find anywhere else for any typically other type of restaurant in the city.
And a shout out to Dewey's too, because I think one of the coolest things about Dewey's is you get to watch him throwing that dough around, and it's mesmerizing and super cool. Yamami, thanks a lot for that call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Leanne has a question from email. She says, I grew up in Illinois where cheese on pizza is always on top. When I moved to Columbus, I found that everyone puts the toppings on top of the cheese. I hate it because the toppings always fall off. Is putting the toppings on top a Columbus thing?
Jim. It's not a Columbus thing, but it's more common in most of the Midwest. And part of that is what toppings and ingredients you're using. There's a way to tell real pepperoni from kind of fake pepperoni, and that's the fake pepperoni cooks differently, and that's typically the stuff that's under the cheese instead of over. We also know that certain ingredients do not fare well in an oven when you're cooking it, so some places will instead put those toppings on the pizza after they pull it out. There's different philosophies on that. It involves moisture content, things like that. Somebody mentioned about the importance of the quality of the cheese. Mm-hmm. That's huge. You typically lose about 30% of the flavor from cheese in cooking it in an oven. So like some people get enraged by DiCarlo's, right? That's Steubenville style pizza where they cook it in the oven with sauce and just a small amount of cheese, and they throw the cheese on raw after it comes out. Part of the history of that is the flavor. You depending on the quality of cheese used, you can use a lot of flavor in how you cook it. So,
and then it just melts on top.
Yeah,
it just melts on top. I guess the idea is when it's fresh out of the
theory,
oven.
In practicality, yeah. It frequently doesn't. But okay. That's how it's supposed to work.
Let's see, Rick in Westerville, you're on the air. Hi, Rick.
Hey there. Hi, Ann. Love your show.
Thank you.
I'm a transplanted New Yorker. And I have to say that Ohio pizza is sacrilege. I spent about 2 years going from pizza place to pizza place, trying out, until I walked into a place in Powell called Brooklyn Pizza.
Yeah.
And yes, his name is Tony. And we talked for hours because we're both from New York. And he told me that he ships his ingredients in from New Jersey, and I have been going there ever since.
Well,
real New York pizza, and you can even buy it by the triangular slice.
Well, Rick, what is it? What is New York style pizza to you?
New York style pizza is a round pizza cut in triangles like a pie,
uh-huh.
And pizza pie, and then the toppings are just, you know, the toppings. But I'm an advocate of plain pizza, mozzarella cheese, tomato sauce, and a perfect crust.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Rick, thanks a lot for your call. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Glad you found a home here, a pizza home. Let's see. Tim emailed us, said, I think it's Pauly's.
Yeah, Pauly G's.
Pauly G's. Pauly G's Square Pizza changed my life. What's the deal with Pauly G's?
Pauly G's is actually a New York-style pizzeria that I was going to suggest to your previous caller, as well as Borgata, which is most New Yorkers find no fault with how they make pizza, too. Polly G's is based on a New York place called Polly G's. This is their first expansion outside of the city.
Oh, okay.
The guy there trained with Polly G's for a year to make sure they get it right. So they do a really good New York style pizza there, occasionally with some Columbus twist with local ingredients. But they also do what I feel is the best Detroit style pizza in the city, which is that super thick. If you think of like Jet's pizza with the really kind of charred crust edges and thick. So yeah, they do good New York style, but they're willing to commit sacrilege and try some other things too.
Let's see. Nick and Gahanna, you're on the air. Hi, Nick.
Hi, how's it going, Ann?
Good, thanks.
So I want to talk about a pizza that came to Hilliard towards the end of my, I guess, childhood there when I was in high school. It was DiCarlo's Pizza. They came from Wheeling, West Virginia. And if you've never had it, it's different than every other pizza I've had in Columbus because they put the cheese on after they take it out of the oven. So each bite, if you're a texture person, is essentially a crescendo because it's really warm and melty with the freshly melted cheese on top. And then the bottom, because there's no cheese in the oven, it develops a really crisp texture. So it's a really intense bite for a piece of pizza. And the contrast from the beginning to the end of the bite is a miracle.
Wow. That's what you were just talking about, right, Jim?
Yeah, correct.
You know, I knew this show was going to make me hungry. I think I know where I'm going for lunch, yeah. At least somewhere that serves pizza. Nick, thank you for that recommendation. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Take care. Pizza worth traveling for. This is from Joe by email. It says, would you ask Jim what pizza places he'd recommend traveling for that are not in what people would consider high-profile Columbus neighborhoods? He says something like Tarita's in the Linden area. Yeah. And you mentioned Tarita's in the book, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Tarita was a discovery for me, and I couldn't believe it because I had grown up nearby to Tarita's. I had never heard of it until I started working on the book. So that was a great discovery. They have quickly become a darling of pizza lovers in town. They make their own sausage. It's a great family story. So they're pretty awesome. Places to seek out that are worth the travel if you're from certain parts of Columbus where we kind of get in our silos about pizza.
Right.
Josie's Pizza in the Bottoms, Franklinton, I think is worth checking out. My wife is a huge fan of their pizza, and that's saying a lot. She's Italian. She's very, very firm about what her pizzas are going to be. So she has come to love them quickly. And that's, I think, the one benefit of this book is I was constantly bringing pizzas home that I hadn't tried. It's like, try this. Let me know what you think. Giuseppe's, also West Side, I think is worth seeking out too. You know, there's so many. Family Pizza up in Marysville is actually a spinoff of Benny's. So the original owners of Benny's started Family Pizza, and it's supposed to be wonderful. I haven't had it. That is top of my list, is kind of traveling around. You know, there's so many great choices in the city. And even though I'm an advocate of Columbus style pizza, there's a lot of just great places to go that are a little bit different. Gourmet is a perfect example. One thing that's not in the book, but is book worthy, is this Wizard of Za phenomenon that you may or may not be familiar with. Is this guy that basically started making pizza at home as kind of a COVID hobby and has grown it to like this highly sought after pizza that he's got, I think, like a wait list over 2,000 people deep. Oh, I think I'm in the middle of that wait list. And he's soon to open his own spot in town. So, I mean, that's an amazing story to me.
John from Grove City asked you to comment on Zamorelli's in Grove City. Andy Zamorelli, he said, started the pizza shop in a tiny cinder block building in the 60s. And it's the same today. Delicious pizza, never delivered a pie, as popular as ever.
That is an institution in Grove City, and I believe still owned by a family member. And that's another one of those snapshots in time. It has not changed since 1960s. I have not been there recently, but I'm sure that they may still be cash only. They definitely aren't doing any delivery or anything new like that. So they'll put their heads down and hopefully survive COVID. The place that I miss the most from Grove City is a place called Tristano's, which is no longer with us, but they still have a little bit of a legacy. If you go to Yellow Brick Pizza, they basically interned with the owner, Lou Tristano, to copy his Chicago deep dish style pizza. And I feel that their version is really at the top of what's in Columbus for that style.
Jeffrey in the short North. Hi, Jeffrey.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks.
I love Adriatico's. It's incredible.
I love Adriatico's too. I can still remember the first time I ever had it. In fact, Jim Ellison, what do you make of it? It's in the book.
Well, you know, people always ask me what my favorite pizza is, and when I was doing brewery tours, they'd always ask me what my favorite brewery was. I'm too smart to answer that question. you don't want to.
Well,
you don't
I like,
like
so
it's a politician.
Many.
You don't want to pick. So I always throw out a top 10. But Adriatico's is definitely in my top 10. My wife introduced me to something that I didn't know about Adriatico's, which I had known from college, is it's getting extra sauce.
I love extra sauce.
The way that they
yes.
do it is they put the extra sauce on the pepperoni. It caramelizes a little bit. It's a game changer. Yeah. So I wow. love Adriatico's. It was our one of the things that we served at our wedding. So we think
wow.
so highly of it.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Jeffrey, thanks a lot for that call.
Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, I like a lot of different kinds of pizzas. So I'm probably going to say, yeah, I like that. I mean, I'm not religious about it. I just like a lot of different flavors. But how important is the crust?
My opinion, like you think of any good sandwich, you can't have a good sandwich without good bread. You can't have pizza without good dough. You can taste the difference between a place that makes their dough fresh daily and somebody that's sliding a crust out of a plastic bag. It's crucial. It's critical. It's something that you might not notice initially, but once you start to kind of do some comparisons, you really start to notice it. And I have a lot of friends that are bakers, and they can debate time and time again over what is the perfect combination to get dough. One place I would say to seek out, Bexley Pizza Plus. Brad Rocco is a phenomenal
We've
pizza
had him
guy.
On the show,
he's
yeah.
close to, we have as a pizza celebrity. But he would be a great guy to discuss dough with for hours on end.
Yeah, we had him on when he was headed out to Las Vegas for the competition. Yeah.
He's a great guy.
Let's see. Tim in Worthington, you're on the air. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Ann. Thanks for the show. I love it. I only get to listen once a week when I'm running my Meals on Wheels route, which I'm doing right now.
Okay.
But,
I just wanted to say I used to live a little bit further east. And I was always a big fan of Pizza House.
Yeah.
And now I live a little further west, and my go-to is JT's Pizza.
JT's Pizza, which is, that's on
in
161,
Lindbergh.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I think we have somebody else who was into JT's too. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's really just, for me, what makes the pizza is the sauce. And those are two places that I found that have a sauce that I really enjoy. And I think they put a lot of time into their sauce. So,
all right. Well, thanks a lot, Tim. Take care.
Yep.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll get your calls. We'll get to your emails. If you want to give us a call, 614-292-8513. There's a line open. We're talking about pizza today, which is kind of a nice break with Jim Ellison, a Columbus food blogger and author of a new book. Really good book. It doesn't rank pizzas or pizzerias. It talks about pizzeria and the culture of pizza in Columbus, which is really interesting and important. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're talking about pizza today. Columbus foodies have always supported the pizzerias. Columbus is a huge pizza town. It's, if you're a new transplant and you think it's your imagination, it is not. It is a real deal. And at first I used to think it was just me that I just kind of, for some reason, noticed more pizzerias. But it wasn't, right, Jim Ellison? My guest is Jim Ellison. He's a Columbus food blogger and author of a new book. It's titled Columbus Pizza, A Slice of History. How often do you get that? Do you hear from people that realize, yeah, it's everywhere? I mean, I think there's three or four, maybe four or five pizzerias right within my neighborhood.
Yes, Anne, you nailed that on the head. And actually, I forgot to answer part of a previous question for you. So we were pizza capital of the United States in the 1990s. We are not now. I think latest ranking I saw were anywhere from like 30 to 50, depending on how they do their metrics. But there's still a ton of pizza in Columbus. And also think about how ubiquitous it is, right? It's not just in pizzerias. There's restaurants that have a flatbread or another type of pizza on. So it is everywhere. Pizza places are like bars. You can usually, if you have a community that support it, you'll probably have an okay business.
Okay, getting to these calls now. John in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, John.
Hello, yes. I'd like to take a little trip down memory lane. If he knows about Alpha Pizza, it was up on Cleveland Avenue in Linden. That's where I first in the 50s discovered pizza. Interesting flavor, nothing like today's.
Jim Ellison?
I know the name from my research, but I'm a little bit dated on having access to it. I grew up close to Linden, I did not have the opportunity to have Alpha myself.
John? Go ahead.
Yes. The cheese was real sharp, nothing like with the mozzarella and stuff, and basically just tomato sauce. Hopefully somebody out there, I'm not the only geezer around, would call in and talk to about it. But it was really good.
Well, what do you eat now instead, John?
Well, right now, I don't live too far from Dante's Pizza. He's an old-timer on Indianola, so I mainly go there. I might interject, maybe do a show on submarine sandwiches. I was always a submarine sandwich boy.
That's interesting you brought that up, John. Thanks for the call. You know, you tell a story in the book, Jim Ellison, about the poor boy and how that is a Columbus institution.
It is trademarked by Jimmy Carova at TAT Restaurant. There's a great backstory of it. It's the little guy literally going up against the big guys. To the point where he decided to trademark that term. So as an 18, 19-year-old kid kind of taking the reins of the family business, he was bothered by the fact that these large local grocery stores and other companies were bringing in poor boy sandwiches frozen that you can buy at the grocery store. So he's decided that he's going to tilt some windmills and go after the big players. And it took several years, but he won that lawsuit, which is a surprise to everybody involved. And was able to trademark that sandwich type. Columbus is a huge submarine meatball sandwich town too. And there's lots of backstories that go with that. We've got Audino's that supplies the buns for most of these subs that we eat in the city. We've got a great history related to banana peppers. And there's a urban legend that is probably true about a sub place on OSU campus that inspired a national chain. It's in the book. I'm blanking on the name right now. Quiznos.
Quiznos.
Yeah. So it's just spelled a little bit differently on the OSU campus. And it's believed that a fan that enjoyed them when they're going to Ohio State then started that company based on some of those concepts.
Okay, John, thanks for that call. Now I'm turning to Chris in Columbus. Chris, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Ann, thanks so much for taking my call. I love your show, no matter the subject. But I particularly am enjoying this show, pizza.
Thanks.
My eyes glaze over and my memory just goes blank. But I wanted to share, up in Berlin, Ohio, I know that's not a Columbus pizza, but there's a pizza place up there that serves fresh produce on their pizzas. So their pizzas change from day to day based on the product that they can get locally. And it's not in Berlin. It's about 15 miles northeast of Berlin. And I'm driving right now, so I can't look it up.
It's in Amish country, though.
It is in Amish country. And funny thing is, almost right next door to a Chicago deep, or whatever it is, one of the chain pizza places. And I feel sorry for that pizza place because the one I'm referring to is dominating that particular corner of the pizza world. So anyway, thank you so much, Jim. I appreciate your input.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for calling in.
Well, and I'm going on a road trip now. I need to find this place. It reminds me of one of my favorite pizzerias in the world, a place called the Cheese Board in Berkeley, California, that has that similar concept of whatever's fresh for that day is what they serve. And they only serve one type of pizza a day. So if you love it, if you don't love it, that's
I love those places, though. I love it when someone just tells you what you're going to have to eat.
Right.
I would imagine that Ohio, with its I always think of it in terms of media districts, but I mean, there's big cities in Ohio, seven big cities areas, and there's got to be a tradition in each of them.
Yeah, very, very much so. Youngstown Steubenville style pizza, which is DiCarlo's, Youngstown style, which is kind of a sweeter sauce and has some other kind of history to it as well. Dayton has Marion's, which is kind of an institution. It's a love it or leave it type thing. It's similar to Columbus style. Their cheese a little bit saltier. Cincinnati's has La Rosa's, which is an institution down there. There's so many special places. And I really feel that, you know, that first pizza that we have when we're a kid imprints on us. And that becomes like, this is pizza and nothing else is acceptable. I'm an equal opportunity eater, so I don't have to worry about that. And to backtrack to one of the callers, the first pizza that I ever had was Dante's.
Boy, you know, here's confession time for me. I literally didn't have takeout pizza until I got to college. And someone said they were going down to the snack bar to get a pizza. And I'm like, how do you even do that? Yeah. So my dad would make pizza for us. Let's see. Todd in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Todd.
Hi. Yeah, I was calling. Jim, apologies. I haven't read your book.
Well,
but
it just
I
came
hope
out.
East Coast Pizzeria is in there.
We have some Borgata in particular, Poly G's. I'd say Adriatico's is East Coast inspired. So there's definitely a couple. I mean, the focus is the mom and pop Columbus pizza shops that kind of have that dominant Columbus style. But I'm an equal opportunity eater and writer. So some of those kind of beloved spots in the city are definitely mentioned.
And I think he was referring to East Coast Pizza that's across from Graceland. So it's
called East Coast Pizza.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
thanks for the clarification.
Yeah,
I've had them. There are a huge fan base for them, and they really kind of came out of nowhere. When you drive by, it's easy to not see them or to maybe look and think it's a big chain. It's not. Those guys definitely have a lot of passion for what they do. A lot of people that I know in that area are very passionate about it.
Thanks, Todd, for that call. And let's see. We have an email from Shirley. She says, I, too, am an East Coast transplant. Most pizza in Columbus uses sausage, which reminds me of breakfast sausage. Many times you can taste the sage. I want old-fashioned Italian sausage, which is highly flavored with a little red pepper. By the way, pizza pie are round, not square. Okay. I kind of like the sage notes when that happens. I take it for what it is, but I like the red pepper too. You know, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree on that. We all have our individual preferences, but also depending on what part of Italy you're in, the sausage is going to taste different from one region to another. So we do have places in town that are making sausage based on old Italian recipes that are passed down through the generations. Gatto's Pizza in Clintonville is one. They still make their own. Tarita's still makes their own sausage. TAT does. There's a few others as well, but if you're looking for authentic, real Italian sausage, those are places to seek out. Hopefully it would be something that she would like, but again, it's going to depend on what region of Italy you were in.
Michael Call from Clintonville says, my favorite pizza in Columbus is Clintonville Pizza Primo, followed closely by Dante's, but Dante's does not accept debit or credit cards.
Yeah.
I come from Eastern Ohio, where we have square-cut pizza, but it is on very crunchy, thicker Italian bread-style crust that is very flavorful. Some of the big names for that would be DiCarlo's or Gianna Mori's. I have to say, you know, I mean, one of my go-to places is Pizza Primo in Worthington. You know, and Eric would kill me if I didn't give him a shout out. But Pizza Primo has it's been around a long time too.
Yeah, they're definitely survivors, to say the least. And he, in particular, is very much one of those folks who's very focused on the quality of ingredients.
Let's see, Debbie in Marysville, you're on the air. Hi, Debbie.
Hi. Well, I'm calling to let you know that I am from Marysville, and you had mentioned Family Pizzeria. The O'Connor family were the original owners of Benny's. His name is Benny O'Connor.
Okay.
And whenever they sold Benny's, they signed like an agreement they wouldn't make pizza in Marysville for 3 years. And then they opened Family Pizzeria. And it's owned by someone else now. It's called Buckeye Family Pizzeria. But some of the O'Connors still work there. And it's their recipe. And it's definitely worth the drive to Marysville to get a Family Pizzeria pizza. Very good pizza.
Debbie,
I love your show. And that's it's great. I'm going to check out that book.
Okay. Thanks, Debbie. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I appreciate it. One of my producers said that the pizza in Amish country is Park Street Pizza in Sugar Creek. So we got that clarified. Mike in Lewis Center, you're on the air. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, thanks.
So a friend of mine told me this was on right now. He's aware of what I've been doing. My wife and I, at the beginning of the pandemic, decided to try to help out some of the smaller local shops in Central Ohio. We ordered a pizza delivery bag, and every Friday we order a pizza and a sub from somewhere different and bring it home. And we've done that since the middle of March.
So what has blown your mind that you didn't know about before that?
Well, and some of the ones we've already mentioned here, I don't know if, and I've only been listening for about a half hour or so. So Gatsby's in Gahanna, I don't know if that's come up or not.
No, not yet.
Tarita's, obviously. Yep. Stad's in Blacklick.
Okay.
Possum Holler down in Oakland.
Yeah. Okay.
Is one of my top. And then I live by Cheshire Market, which happens to be one of my favorite places. We go there. Well, before the pandemic, we'd go there probably once a week
When we lived out in Delaware, we went to Cheshire all the time. Loved it.
Yeah, it's great. And they'll even deliver to a boat if you're out on Allen Creek. I've already heard, my wife actually has the book on hold. She works for the library. So I'll be getting the book as soon as it's available.
All right. Thanks, John, for that call. I appreciate it. I have a million emails. Richard says, please mention my faves, Panzera and the Panzera family in Grandview. Rubino's is from Marble Cliff in South UA. Vinayak, hopefully I pronounced that right. Most pizza place reviews and recommendations are for the traditional pizzas that tend to have some kind of meat toppings and have somewhat mild spice levels. How about some recommendations for vegetarian pizzas and people who like their pizza spicy hot? Mm-hmm. Any ideas, Jim?
Two that I'll throw out, Yellow Brick Pizza. You'll find plenty of veggies there. And Fibonacci's, which is at Studio 35 in Clintonville. Gabe, who is the main guy there and a good friend of mine, he is very vegan and vegetarian focused. He also is very committed to sourcing locally. Those will be two that definitely won't disappoint.
Jody says, with three daughters, they argue over which pizza to get. One likes Papa John's and Pizza Hut. One likes Da Vinci's. Another likes Jet's. When it's just my husband and I, we love Hawaiian cuisine. Their white pizza is amazing, especially with pineapple added.
The best way to solve that argument is get all of them. So I prefer that you got all from local places. But yeah.
Right. And then Caitlin mentions Dewey's Arastri. I don't know.
Yeah. I have not had them. My former neighbors are huge fans and have them once a week. They definitely have in really over COVID developed an incredible reputation.
And Meister's Bar.
Oh, yeah. That used to be on my pizza tour that I used to do pre-COVID. Solidly good Chicago deep dish style / inspired. They have there's some good photos of them in the book.
And then Casey says 600 downtown in Bell Fountain.
I have not had it. It is on my list.
It's on your tour. Jim Ellison, we're out of time. And I have to tell listeners, you got to get the book because we didn't even scratch the surface of the book. There's so much great information in there about it. You might get hungry while you're reading it, but that's probably kind of the point in Jim's mind. Jim Ellison, you've been great. I really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure. Happy to come back. And I have to mention, when I saw this was a Monday, I was terrified. I was envisioned being grilled by the State House Reporting Bureau, Karen Kasser, like, question me, is there really 100 slices of pepperoni on that pizza? So thanks. It was less terrifying than I thought.
Not as bad. Jim Ellison, he is a Columbus food blogger and author of a new book titled Columbus Pizza, A Slice of History. Thanks to everybody for all your great suggestions. I'm sorry I couldn't get to all of your emails, but thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We'll be right back.